Bibles, please, to Psalm 119, begin in verse 97 through 120. Psalm 119, 97, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. The letter is Mem. O, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Through thy commandments, or thou through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Nun. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end. Letter Samech. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, for emphasis here, in these three sections, we have the virtues of the law of the Lord and the help that they are to the people of God. We begin with a statement that is, well, it's convicting, isn't it? To hear the psalmist, I believe David, say, "Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day." We have to make a decision when we come to a passage like that. The decision is, hermeneutically speaking, are we going to say that David or the psalmist has entered into some holy hyperbole? Or is he truly saying that all throughout the day he comes back in his mind to the Word of God? Well, now we know our own hearts. We know ourselves. We know that we have many, many things that draw us away from a singular focus and meditation upon the law of God. And those things are right. It's not a bad thing to focus on the work that you're supposed to do, to focus on your calling, to make sure that you're figuring all of that out. You know, you're not writing out a grocery list and, "Oh, look at that. There's Psalm 119.97 in the middle of that grocery list. It was just on my mind." It doesn't happen like that. We understand that. Okay? So, when the psalmist writes, "It's my meditation all the day," we might say all throughout the day, not every moment of the day, but all throughout the day. And that is the sign of him loving the law of God. What happens when we love something? It keeps coming back to our thoughts. "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." That's the proof of my love for God's word. Is it a drag on you to sit down and do your Bible reading? Is it, you know, "Okay, let me check that box and we get that over with," kind of thing? Or is there some real love there? Some real enthusiasm? We must examine our own hearts. We not only need to make a hermeneutical decision here, we need to make a spiritual judgment upon our own hearts to see whether or not the love of the psalmist for the law of God is our love for it as well. Well, these are things that we cannot answer for others. And sometimes we have a difficult time answering them for ourselves because we can deceive ourselves. Still, this love is commended, and it is because it is, or as one of the old divines said, "God's commendings are God's commandings." This is a good thing to remember. It's a good example then. All right, so then he's going to give several advantages to the law of God. He says, first of all, wisdom is to be found in God's word. Understanding as well is found in God's word. So pains are to be taken to keep God's word. And we note that there is a negative as well as a positive. "I have refrained in order," right? So there is something to be drawn away from in order, right? "I've refrained my feet," verse 101, "from every evil way that I might keep thy word." And so it is evil things that keep us away from God's word. We might even say sometimes it's simply not really evil things, but they're only evil in that they have kept us away from God's word, right? Otherwise, they'd be considered indifferent. And yet, sometimes we're tempted to, or we just go right beyond or through the temptation into spending our time frivolously and frittering it away when we ought and could have spent time doing something more substantial. Well, that's not going to happen all the time. We're not, you know, we can't meditate 24/7. We can't study and read 24/7. We can't do that. We are weak as human beings. We're going to need rest. We're going to need sleep. We're going to need some distraction and recreation. We're going to need all those things. It's when we make those things the focus rather than what they are as tools that the Lord has granted to us in order to our better understanding Him and His Word. Okay, so notice there was love in verse 97. Now there's sweetness in 103. "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." So this is a wonderful section here, mem, on the virtues of the law of God, that it is lovely, that it is sweet, that it gives understanding. Notice, "I understand more than the ancients, because I kept thy precepts. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Through thy commandments thou hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me." The "they" there is not the enemies, it's the commandments that are ever with me. Got to get the antecedent correctly there. So notice what the psalmist writes there. The knowledge of the law of God is greater than the schemes of our spiritual enemies, greater than the knowledge of our teachers, and greater than the knowledge of the aged or the ancients. And the implication in each of those is that the enemies who do not have the law of God, the teachers who do not have the law of God, and the aged, the ancients, who do not have the law of God. In other words, youth and God's word are better than mere age, mere strength, mere animus, right? all of those things are true. So we see the value and virtue of God's word in the first section. All right, the second, 105. Maybe some of you have done what I've done at home. So I've got these little things that I plug into the wall receptacles that when all the lights go off, this dim little glow comes up. Right? And why do we do that? Well, because when we get up in the middle of the night to do whatever we need to do, you don't want to hit your nose on a wall. Right? When things are as dark as they can be, you don't want to bang yourself up. I don't know if you've ever done that before. I have. It's not pleasant. You know, that's the wall didn't like it much either, as I recall. We put things like stickers on glass, you know, sliding glass windows so that we don't walk into them without seeing them, right? So here's what I want you to know, that if you try to navigate your way through this world without God's law, it's like walking in the dark. It's like stumbling. It's like falling down. It's like injury. It's all of that together. Children, some of you I know, you're like me. You're like a good flashlight. You want to, it's fun to go out in the backyard at night with a flashlight and see what you can see and walk around and enjoy the outdoors, or maybe even using it inside. Well, God's word is a light to our feet, a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. We don't have a choice. You know, sometimes you can make the choice. You wake up in the middle of the night and you think, I might need to go, to the restroom or something. I might want to get up and get a drink of water. But you can make the decision, I don't have to get up. I'm going to go back to sleep. It's dark. I might run into something. I don't have a light. We don't have that choice in our lives. We don't have that choice. We're on the path. We are moving in a direction. Now, we can move with God's word as our light and lamp, or not. You don't have a choice. You can't just stay in bed. That's a choice to walk without God's light. Right? So, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Something we've seen in Psalm 119 very often. Now, here again in 106, I have sworn and will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgment. There is a commitment that comes forth out of the mouth of the psalmist. You want to look for that when you read through Psalm 119. Those kinds of commitment statements come out very often, and they are good examples to us to make those same kinds of commitments. That's why they're there. notice also that it is the law of God that leads us to the worship of God. This is really important, isn't it? Accept, I beseech thee, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. So it is through the law of the Lord that we come unto him, and then it is in coming to him that he returns those commandments to us, that we might learn how to please him. Once again, we have a statement of persecution. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. What does he mean, you think, when he says, my soul is continually in my hand? That is, that I continue in those righteous judgments and activities that put me at odds with the wicked. Yet, I forget not thy law. All right, so then, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. What do we mean, children, when we talk about a heritage? Anybody know what that means? What's a heritage when we talk about a heritage? Well, some of you will grow up in your parents' households and you will hope to inherit something, right? That there will be something, a piece of their household that they leave for you when they pass on to be with the Lord. That's what we call a heritage. Did you see here that the commandments of God, learning how to read them and learning how to keep them, that's a heritage? That's a heritage that the psalmist desires to bequeath to his children. Children, listen to the law of your mother and your father. Hear what they tell you from the word of God. They tell you truths that are eternal, that will be a heritage to you forever, and then on to your children as well. So, notice how the psalmist is telling us about this thing that we talked about earlier today, that this is the Lord's multi-generational project, right? From father to children, from mother to children, and so on. Year upon year upon year, generation upon generation upon generation. It's a heritage forever, the Lord says. And we don't want to inherit necessarily gold and silver and precious stones and houses and lands and bank accounts and bearer bonds and all of that stuff. The thing that we must inherit is a love for the law of God. That's what we must inherit from our parents. And then children, as you grow and have children of your own, that you bequeath to them. All right, we come to the last section. Stomach. Okay, so we've heard love, now we have hate. I hate vain thoughts. The word for vain there, it's an interesting Hebrew word. It's used in several different contexts, but mostly it's when something is divided and therefore weakened. Like you take a stick, a log, and you divide it. Right? This is akin to what James will say when he says, I hate the double-minded man. Okay? James will say, a double-minded man ought not to expect anything from the Lord. Right? This is double-mindedness. This is weak-mindedness. Thoughts that are weak and not grounded upon God and His Word. I hate those vain thoughts. I spoke with you earlier today about some auditing I did on the radio. Vain thoughts, all of them. All of them, vain thoughts. Just stuff that is built out of the, as Calvin would say, the crack brains of men. Those are things we ought to hate. But by law do I love. So we have a complete antithesis there between the thought form of the world and the thought form of the Scripture, of heaven. This is a complete antithesis. Love on the one side and hate on the other. Thou art my hiding place and my shield, for I hope in thy word. And when you understand that the world is full of worldly speak, and as we've seen already in our reading today in Psalm 119, that there are many times persecution comes to the people of God, we want a hiding place, do we not? We want a place of refuge. We want a place of safety, a place where we can anchor our thoughts and know that we're secure and safe. Children and adults, whatever it is that you learn out of the Scripture, it is 100% safe. 100% safe. It is a refuge. The truth of the Scriptures and the God who stands behind that truth, He is our hiding place. Our place of safety and refuge and covering in the day of evil. And other things, they are not. They may seem like they are. Who is our shining shield? What did we say earlier? Who is our hope, our exceeding great reward? Who is our defense and who is our hope? The Lord and Him alone. All right, so notice then once again, depart from me, ye evildoers. The psalmist speaks about the company that he keeps. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for... because I will keep the commandments of my God. And so separation from those who do evil is a facilitation of obedience. It facilitates obedience. So he's guarding then, once again, his associations. And associations are very, very carefully taught about in Scripture. All right, well, let's see, where are we? Okay, good. So, why do you want to stay away from the evildoers? Well, because of verse 118. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love thy testimonies. I love thy testimonies. I follow them because I don't want to be trodden down or put away like dross. Right? All right, so then verse 120, and we'll close with this. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Do we fear and grieve at the judgments of God? When the Lord says, if you do this, I will chastise you. Do we take that seriously? Is that what the psalmist is saying? Well, he has just said, thou hast trodden down all that err from thy statutes. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. And then immediately after that, he says, I am afraid of thy judgments. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee. There is a hearty, proper, holy fear of the Lord. We're told over and again in Scripture not to stir him up like that. Not to provoke the frowning countenance of the Almighty God. How do we avoid that then? Well, it's very clear. It's by loving, keeping, memorizing, meditating upon the law of God, the Word of God. All right, this ends the reading from Psalm 119. Let's stand.